Hear these words from the Gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 24 through 28. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." This too is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Surely Thomas felt the absence of God in his life the 10 days leading up to his encounter with the risen Lord behind those locked doors. He had known the presence of God in flesh, Emmanuel, because he knew Jesus. They walked together in the countryside. They witnessed the unimaginable. They stayed up late around crackling fires. They leaned into the heat. They leaned away from the smoke. I'm sure they leaned into each other, laughing at times, at other times crying. They touched. They held hands. They embraced. To Thomas, Jesus was teacher, brother, and friend. But the trauma that Thomas and the others had witnessed in their teacher, their brother, and their friend's horrific death, it wounded and scarred them all. Thomas heard the words that quietly slipped from his Lord's lips, "It's finished." And the thick darkness enveloped him. And in the dark of the night, Jesus' body was covered with spices, myrrh, and aloe, wrapped in linen, laid in the dark of the tomb, and sealed up with a heavy stone. The thick darkness embraced Thomas as Jesus, the life and the light of all people, the light that shined in the darkness, lay dead in the darkness. Thomas knew the absence of God in the loss of his beloved. He left the other disciples to be alone in what the 16th century Spanish mystic St. John of the Cross calls the dark night of the soul. I wonder if Thomas knew in those dark nights that he was waiting, and indeed he was longing, for Jesus to emerge from the darkness of the tomb, to enter back into his life, scarred from the wounds that he endured in this life, but made whole in the darkness. I wonder if he knew that God was at work in the dark of that tomb and in the darkness of Thomas's very own life. It may feel odd to you, as it does to me, to dwell on the death of Jesus, the week leading up to the celebration of his birth, this Advent season, the season of longing. It may seem a bit strange to dwell so on death and loss and darkness in a service of wholeness and healing. But I suspect that you know the precursors to healing and wholeness are suffering and brokenness. And so I ask you to consider the darkness. We all gather on this, the longest night of the year, and we call on Jesus, seeking the presence, the healing, and the wholeness of the light of Christ. Now, I know for many of you, this season of life is not an easy one. I do not presume to know what each one of you carries with you into this place, this sanctuary. But I do know, however, that in certain seasons of our lives, that thick darkness descends. It envelops and embraces each of us. It may be for a short time, or it may linger. It may linger so long that we become quite familiar with the heavy feelings that stir in the dark night of the soul. Sometimes all that we can do in this season is wait. But for what do we truly long? And will it be what we really want? My friend Steve Hayner, the most recent president of Columbia Seminary, is in the advanced stages of pancreatic cancer. This week, his wife Cheryl shared a poem that Steve penned on a napkin some 20 years ago at a gathering of their small group. It's called Advent. Is there grace enough to cover the darkness I discover, to light the inner places long cloaked in sad disgraces? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Is there love enough to lift me when bold rebellion grips me and failure bleakly presses guilt's overwhelming stresses? Come, Lord Jesus, come. And is there peace enough to hold me when nagging fears erode me and strangling expectation turns hope to desperation? Come, Lord Jesus, come. And is there joy enough to fill me when barren reaches chill me and grieving contemplation brings spirit's isolation? Come, Lord Jesus, come. I think that Steve captures the fullness of human experience, the truth of the world that the light of Christ entered in. There is fear, shame, expectation, desperation, illness, pain, and stomach-churning heartache in our lives and in the world. And still, ours are the lives, and this is the world that the vulnerable Christ child entered into one dark night, taking on flesh, gripping fingers, embraced. What seems appropriate this season of Advent as we long for the Lord in the dark of the longest night, that we wait here together with a few candles reminding us of the light of Christ, a few simple songs, some prayers, and the warmth of embrace. St. John of the Cross believed that when we enter the dark night of the soul, the Spirit secretly does a deep work in the human spirit, a work that is so profound but feels so foreign to the Christian's experience that is often interpreted as the absence of God. If you are feeling or have ever felt what seems like the absence of God, you are not alone. Many of the psalmists cry out to God from a feeling of abandonment. Yet it is in the darkness and the feeling of isolation that God is really most present with us and at work within us. One psalmist declares, "Surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light will become night around me." But then he declares, "Yet even then, the darkness isn't too dark for you, God. Nighttime would shine bright as the day because darkness is the same as light to you." Henry Nouwen said, "More often than not, we are left with the painful sense of emptiness that can only be experienced as the absent God. Yet absence and presence are never separated when we reach out to God in prayer. Just as wholeness and healing are present when we are broken and suffering, God's presence is intimately mingled with a feeling of God's absence. And so tonight, we are reaching out to God in prayer so that whether you are feeling the presence of God and the warmth of the holy embrace, or you are experiencing, as the Apostle Thomas was, the absence, we can be assured that God is indeed as close to us tonight as our very breath, either way. Thomas Merton wrote, "God, who is everywhere, never leaves us. Yet he seems sometimes to be present and sometimes absent. If we do not know him well, we do not realize that he may be more present to us when he is absent than when he is present." God is incarnate with us and through each of us here. And if you feel led to come forward later on in the service for prayer, I hope that you feel God in the hands laid and the quiet prayers for healing and wholeness. See, we can be for one another guides in the darkness, or at least fellow journeyers. It is God, after all, who is our guide in the darkness, leveling out the rocky places lest we stumble, taking us by the hand and leading us by the springs of water and the nourishing pastures, leading us to this very place, this night, to have our souls fed, to be healed and made whole. It is God who comes to us in our unique places, as far as we may have wandered, and gathers us in. As God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, saying to the prisoners, "Come out," and to those who are in darkness, "Show yourselves." Like Thomas, who was behind that locked door when Jesus appeared, there is no barrier, no prison, no chains, no doubt nor skepticism, no deep darkness that keeps Jesus from coming to us, taking our hands in his, and in the darkness, guiding our fingers to the wounds now healed, yet scarred, reminding us of the warmth of embrace, of hands holding hands, and eliciting from the depths of our soul the profound confession, "My Lord and my God." I'd like to end with a reflection that Steve Hainer shared a couple weeks ago on what it is to wait now in this final season of his life. He writes, "Waiting is a kind of tension and is hardly ever comfortable. We wait for friends, for phone calls, for medical reports and bills to be paid. We wait for things to begin, and we wait for things to end. Some wait for a husband or a wife, or perhaps for a child. We wait for reconciliation, for healing, for justice, for circumstances to change, and indeed for change in our own lives. We wait for someone to notice us, or for someone to love us. There is a pull between what is and what is to come. It is a tension which cannot be resolved. So instead, my choice is simply to watch with gratitude. I am thankful for today and for all that comes with it. I try to be grateful rather than impatient in those waiting rooms. I am grateful for every day that I still have energy and the strength for more activity. And I am thankful that there is a tomorrow which includes a glorious hope. In between, I am thankful for what I am learning and how I continue to grow. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From God comes my salvation. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken. Friends, God has gathered us in, and as we wait in the darkness, I assure you this night that as we have gathered here and lit some candles, as we sing or simply listen to the songs, as we embrace, as we hold hands and whisper prayers for healing and wholeness, God is more present in our midst than any other time. And God is at work in you and in me. Amen.